Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. I am Paula Gordon. Bill Russell is here with me, and we're with Dr. C.J. Peters, who is the Chief of Special Pathogens at the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, here in Atlanta. You've also been in the military doing the same kind of thing, and you've been chasing hot viruses for 30 years.
Give or take.
Well, this is like chasing grizzly bears. Why would you do that? What got into you?
Would you care to finish the grizzly bear story, Bill?
Yeah, well, the idea is if everything else fails, you should assume the fetal position. Why you should do that is left to the reader as an exercise. What possessed you to go looking for trouble, put yourself in harm's way?
Well, you know, one of the advantages of being young is you don't worry about that. I started when I was young, and by the time I got older, we understood more about how to protect yourself.
But when you were young, this was unexplored territory, wasn't it?
Yes. And so we explored it. I mean, that's, first you're young, and second you're a physician. And physicians don't believe that they're going to get sick. I mean, you're the doctor, you're not the patient. So
it's a role.
That's right.
Well, I'm curious about that 30-year experience, because in some ways it's part of what has lulled us into saying, oh, well, we fixed that. During that 30 years that you've been chasing hot viruses, and during which time you've been a practicing physician and in the military as well as the civilian sector, we've made real progress. And I think that many people would say, well, what's the problem? We've got technology. We'll fix it. You guys go solve this. You're a virologist. Isn't that the double-edged sword of the technology boom in the last 30 years? Of yes, we can fix it, but we've come to a point, well, maybe we can't fix it. Maybe we have lulled ourselves into a very scary place.
I think when I started doing this, I had a vision that what we were doing is we were rewriting the chapters in the textbooks. And eventually we'd get all those chapters up to date, and they'd have, you know, prevention, treatment, and so on. Those sections would be complete, and then we could all retire. It doesn't work that way, because things come along that are new. They're either new, truly new, because they have represent a unique constellation of genes.
You mean like diseases being really new?
Yeah, a unique constellation of genes in a bug that's going to make us sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're new to us because we didn't know about them, or ecology didn't cause them to be a problem for us. The ecology was such that we didn't have that as a problem.
Is this like Ebola was fine when it was in the dense forest and it didn't get out?
Right, and as long as nobody went in there,
and nobody came out of there who was sick,
nobody came out sick, and they didn't go to African hospitals that were too poor to afford clean, sterile needles and proper nursing equipment,
and they didn't then get on an airplane and fly to a major concentration of humans some other part of the planet.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, so
isn't transportation a major element in this? The fact that we go every place on the planet.
Well, I think it's a transportation, not just of humans, but it's the speed with which humans move. I mean, you know, Livingston went back to London from the middle of what we called Zaire yesterday, and we're calling the Democratic Republic of the Congo today, and yet it took him weeks to do it. So he was not in an incubation period for many of these diseases. Today, a four-wheel drive vehicle and Air France to Paris will get you within striking distance of almost anywhere, mm-hmm, within an incubation period.
And we also can put monkeys on airplanes and send them to the other side of the world and spread diseases through other species.
Yes. And one of the things that's even more worrisome than monkeys, because in a way they're analogous to humans in that they are acutely infected and they move, but they're the little critters that carry these things. In other words, we can move mosquitoes around. So an African mosquito can be moved to the U.S., or an Asian mosquito can be moved to the U.S. Now, we may get away with only a temporary problem. There's a big difficulty around the world with a disease now that's called airport malaria. If you live near an airport, like particularly an airport like in Geneva, where there are
Geneva, Switzerland,
where there are many international flights. They land and the mosquito gets off, and the mosquito is infected with malaria from Africa or wherever the plane came from. And some poor Swiss guy who didn't even get to take a vacation abroad comes down with malaria and suffers with it. Well, it's not usually a long-term problem because the malaria can be treated. The mosquitoes in Geneva are going to freeze that winter, so there's no long-term problem. But sometimes it's worse. For example, Aedes albopictus is an Asian mosquito.
Who is this?
He's called Aedes albopictus.
This is a mosquito person?
And he's an Asian mosquito. He's called the Asian tiger mosquito because he has little stripes. And he also bites humans like a tiger. And these have been brought to this country in shipments of tires for recapping. And they've established themselves. They now live here. They are an American mosquito. They will not be dislodged. We lost our chance when they came in because no one was far-sighted enough to say, we don't want a mosquito here that transmits a variety of diseases and loves to bite humans. So it was left, and it's now adapted to this country. It's begun to move north to areas where it couldn't have lived originally. It's undergone genetic change, Darwinian evolution. It's adapted. And this mosquito, so far, has not caused any problems. But, you know, it's only been here, a decade. We're already beginning to see that it may get mixed up in this cycle of Eastern encephalitis virus, the virus that's active in South Carolina now. So we are looking at this mosquito to see what kinds of problems how it's going to complicate our life.
I was going through looking at what you do, and there's this concept of etiology, which I hadn't come across in a long time, causality, and going to the subtlety.
Etiology is at least a $10 word.
Yes, it is. Causality, looking for causes, and you have to pin down causes in order to develop vaccines, in order to stop an epidemic, in order to figure out what causes the epidemic. You can't just do a hand wave and speculate.
Is that right?
He said it was.
Yeah, I know, but you're the guy who's supposed to know.
See, my name's not on the show.
Okay. Yes, that's absolutely right. But there's a problem with what you mean by causality. I mean, the first step, I think, in most of these situations, not always, but usually, is to find the infecting agent. And in we're talking about viruses, so I want to identify the virus that made you sick. But on the other hand, there's a whole spectrum of causes that surround that, and we were just talking about some of them. Say the virus is transmitted by a mosquito. Well, then I have to find out what mosquito transmits it. Why? How did that mosquito get here? Why did it bite you? Is it a mosquito that bit you because its preferred host for biting wasn't there? Or did you go to a place where you shouldn't have been, or people didn't ordinarily go, and that brought you into harm's way, and so on? So there's a whole spectrum of causality that even includes, you know, nutrition and some of the other aspects. Why did you get so sick, or why did the other person not get so sick?
So these are, I hesitate to say, nonlinear systems. We're accustomed to thinking of causality as A causes B causes C, end of subject. And it's much more complex than that, much more subtle.
Absolutely. And you get into the whole situation with ecology, because many of the viruses that I'm interested in and concerned with are viruses that are maintained in nature. They're floating around out there, and they depend on a vertebrate like a rodent or a bird or so on, plus perhaps an arthropod like a mosquito or a tick. Well, you take all the things that come together in terms of climate and vegetation to influence the behavior and the quantitative behavior of these different species. It's very complex. And, you know,
Most people don't like complicated things. It's complex,
and it's moving on you. It's not as if it's going to stay still. I mean, that's the problem with viruses. They change from minute to minute.
And, you know, we're coming up, for example, with an El Nino effect, this wind current change in the ocean currents and so on. It's going to change the weather in North America next year. I mean, that's something that we can predict in in the broad sense, but we don't know how this is going to impact on the diseases. We're very concerned, for example, with honiviruses and rodents, because this El Nino brings you a warm winter, which means that the rodents will survive better over the winter, and it brings you rains, which means they're going to have lots of grass and grass seeds and so on the next year, and we may have problems with honiviruses.
There's been a modest outbreak in Washington State recently, hasn't there?
Yes.
Which is not expected. Exactly. You may have expected it. It wasn't how modest.
We expected it in the sense that we knew it would happen somewhere because it always does. But we didn't know when and we didn't know where. We're trying to understand some of those things, and I can't even, it's too complex, really, to get a handle on that.
Dr. C.J. Peters is the Chief of Special Pathogens at the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, that looks out for public health issues in the world now, not just in America. He is our guest. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are here with a specially invited group of people at the Commerce Club. We hope you'll stay with us.